The beauty was it was sale for some things, and one of a kinds were discounted just a little bit. So they want those one of a kinds.
Yep.
They don't want just your, you know, your standard collections.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast, episode 121. It's Tracy Matthews here, your host today and the chief visionary officer over at Flourish and Thrive Academy. And, you know, I'm traveling around the world all the time, and I happen to be recording this episode in Chicago, Illinois. I've been here for the Chicago Responsibility Conference all weekend. And I asked my friend Lisa Lehman to join me for the show today because Lisa is a brilliant jewelry designer. She's super talented. She's been in our mastermind program for this last year, and she's joining us next year for our SOS program, which I'm really excited about. And Lisa lives close to Chicago, so I said, hey, I have an extra day here. Do you want to come play? And by the way, will you tell us a story about how you had a $7,000 Facebook live sale? You guys, what I'm about to share with you is really incredible. I usually do these intros and outros separately, but you know, Lisa's sitting right here. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hey, Tracy. Nice to be here.
Well, it's awesome to have you here. You have an amazing jewelry brand that's been around for a while, Studio Art. And I remember, you know, we were just talking one day and then all of a sudden, actually, I think we were in our mastermind meeting when this was the first time I heard about this. And you said, oh yeah, well, I had a $7,000 Facebook Live trunk show. And I was like, what? Like, why haven't I heard about this before? And what did you do? And so I asked her like impromptu to come on stage at our live event to share in a very concise version about what she did. And she's been so generous that she's going to share the step-by-step of what she did to have a $7,000 Facebook Live sale. And if I'm remembering correctly, you were doing this to get rid of one-of-a-kinds and extra inventory.
Yes, to introduce mostly one-of-a-kinds, get them out of stock and get rid of all the extra stuff that's been sitting around.
I think we all need to do that with our brands,
Amen.
Right?
Amen, totally.
Okay, so Lisa, before we dive into like actually what you did for the Facebook Live sale, why don't you tell us a little bit about your jewelry brand and sort of how long you've been in the industry and anything else that's relevant with that?
Anything fun and exciting.
Yeah.
I have been designing and creating jewelry for 15 years.
Awesome.
Started out small. It was kind of supposed to be a hobby. I had been a graphic artist, had my own design company at the time, and the jewelry thing just clicked. So raising kids, went back to school, took some of the metals classes to build on my fine arts degree, and since you put a torch in my hand, that's been it ever since.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
And I love it. I do. I absolutely love it.
And you've had your business for full-time for 10 years now?
Well,
hobbied
into business, but it's been, I dove into some big art shows right in the beginning, dove into the wholesale market. So it's been full-time pretty much for at least the last 12 years, but more focused now that my kids are older and this is kind of what I do all day long.
That's amazing. She's so talented too. And it's exciting.
Thanks.
So Lisa, tell me a little bit about this Facebook Live sale. I want to start by just kind of hearing about the results, like how long you did it, what was the thought process behind it? And then we're going to dial into some details.
Okay. I think the reason the Facebook thing kind of stood out as an option for me is because I built my business on social media. Mm-hmm. That's where I really started. It was, you know, way back when Twitter was still fun and and all of that. And so I have a lot of people in that format, in the social media format, especially on Facebook. That's just kind of where they live and hang out. So, and as anybody knows who has a business page there, it's kind of harder to get the traffic. It's kind of harder to keep the traffic. So I noticed that events kind of tend to stick a little bit.
Yeah.
So I know I have people from all over the world that buy my jewelry. So I thought, well, what's the one place they all come together? It's on Facebook.
Yes.
So I know Sarah D'Angelo, another mastermind, had done a Facebook Live sale, and I loved the concept behind that. And so I thought, well, how can I, or she had done a Facebook
trunk
sale,
show. Yeah.
Right. And I thought, how could I take it to the next level? And I've noticed that my people really love when I do live anything because they like, it makes them feel like they're part of your brand. They like to see you in the studio. They like to see you. And it was just a fun way. So I started talking about it probably a month before the show, started talking about it in Facebook, sent it out to my newsletter. And the response was really great. So that was, I really didn't know what I was doing.
You were just like trying it.
But the response was great. So people I knew were excited, and you know, I really built the buzz up. So by the time the event came, people were like chomping at the bit to get there.
Okay, so we're going to kind of dial into more of the details about what you did in a second. But what were you selling sort of your one of a kind pieces that you didn't want to deal with, like taking photographs of necessarily,
exactly.
Right? Is that, am I getting you right?
Exactly.
Because, you know, we all do love one of a kind, you know, but it is harder to sell one of a kind sometimes online when you have to photograph everything.
And then put it on your website.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Totally.
Create all the listings. But this is a great, I mean, I love this idea so much because it's a way to like show people what it's all about and then get them out the door really quickly. And then you were also selling extra inventory.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what was the price point range of the stuff that you were selling?
Price point, I think the lowest price point were things in the $20 range. Like I had some little stud earrings and whatever. And I think the highest price point item was $200 or $300.
And you sold $7,000 worth of jewelry.
I did.
In 2 hours.
I did. It was crazy. Like it was crazy. It was, I was sweating. Like by the time 2 hours was done, I was sweating. I had no voice. It was just over, but it was so much fun.
And you shot this all on your phone?
I shot it on an iPad.
An iPad, okay.
I set it up in my studio because my studio space is awesome. It's such a great environment. And so I wanted people
to
see
that too.
And they love to see it. And I did employ my daughter as kind of my little showcase person.
Okay, so, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
So let's talk about the pregame. What did you do to sort of, you talked briefly about it. You created some anticipation, but was there a strategy or a plan onto what you were doing? Or how did you sort of decide what, when, and where to map it out?
I decided to do it in the evening. Because I know most people are back, you know, at their desk. I tried to do it based on knowing when West Coast people would be free.
Okay.
So kind of, I think we started at 7:30. So I knew that 7:30 East Coast time, at least, you know, West Coast people could make it.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't play well for internationals, but I thought they could still come in later if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so then I really just started putting the buzz out there on my Facebook page, mentioned it pretty much every day. You know, like just one little post or show one item, say, hey, this is coming. But then I did make an event. And
okay.
So then
that's so you made an event
correct.
That you invited people to on Facebook, like,
correct.
Come to my event, but it's a virtual event,
mm-hmm.
sort of like an invitation, like
exactly.
an e-vite. Okay, cool.
And then I posted that in my personal page as well,
okay.
just to kind of get any friends who maybe are not part of my business to say, oh, this is what she does, you know, so.
I love that too, because a lot of times people overlook. So I hear all the time, like, I want to start selling beyond friends and family, but we also don't want to forget the fact that our friends and family are sometimes the people who bring their friends.
Absolutely.
They still buy a lot of times. They spend a lot of money. I mean, my friends and family have been like a huge source of referral for me and continue to be like to this day. So yeah, don't forget about your friends and family. Make sure that you post it on your personal Facebook in addition to your business page, because sometimes people might start to see it more.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that could be really important is to drive people to that invitation on your business page from the personal instead of just like creating a separate invitation. Would you agree?
It would. And I think, you know, for me, once I had the event established, I didn't feel bad like inundating the event with photos and things because they already signed up for that. Unlike putting it on your personal page all the time or putting it on your business page. Now you have an event that you're inviting them to fairly often, but in that event itself, you could keep posting and talking about it and get them more excited.
So were you, when you were posting every day on your page, were you posting separate posts on your page to create anticipation or was it just in the event?
It was, I did both. I would post in the event every day.
Okay.
If not once, maybe twice. And
then
on my business page, I would post what I normally post, but then say, hey, don't forget this Facebook Live event is happening in 2 weeks or in 1 week or in 3 days or
Okay, awesome. So it was like the countdown is on.
It was.
The countdown is on.
Make the countdown.
And so one of the things that I really love what Lisa did is she was teasing what was going to be available. Mm-hmm. So people were already excited about the items that were going to be shown. And what I feel like this does, especially if they're only one of a kinds, it creates the space for people to come and show up and be like, oh my gosh, I want that piece. Like
exactly.
I have to get there for that and be the first one. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about your email strategy. Did you email for this?
Yes, I absolutely did. I emailed my list probably a month out.
Okay.
And told them the event was coming. And then in all my subsequent emails, I mentioned it. Don't forget, you know, tagged it onto the bottom. So it wasn't like I was constantly nagging them because I wanted them to get the gist of just a regular newsletter item, but it was always there.
So it was always there. Okay, cool. So You sent out a few, some were attached to the newsletter and some were separate emails just for the event. Okay. And how many did you send?
I would say there was probably four or five.
Four or five. Okay. And then as it got closer, did you send out one like right before?
I did. And I actually had a little glitch with the system, which was kind of a drag, but maybe that might've been my birthday sale, but I sent it out. I did send out the day before, the day of, 6 hours prior. And I think I did it an hour prior as well.
All emails.
All emails.
Okay. So that was like four emails in one day or five.
Yeah. And there were unsubscribes, which, you know, you get a little panicky about, but at the same time, it's like if they unsubscribe, they're not your person anyway. So you have to kind of get that mindset, which is
okay. Awesome.
Easy.
I love that you did that because people are so afraid to email. And if people unsubscribe from your list, they're not really your people anyway.
They're not.
One little hack, and I don't know if you did this, so you might have done this, but one little hack that you can do as you start getting a little bit more advanced in email marketing strategy, which is something that we're going to be teaching a lot more of in our SOS Accelerator coaching program, is how to segment and tag people so that they can actually opt in and opt out of things. So maybe they still want to stay on your list, but they're not interested in the sale.
Right.
Or they are interested in the sale and they want to make sure that they're opted in for everything. So there's different strategies that you can do to start segmenting people. But I'm glad that you emailed so much because I think it's really important. And I actually think that it really probably helped the success of your sale significantly.
I think so. Because I think as much as you want to think they're going to see it on Facebook, they just might
not.
So, but they will see an email. And if you don't, I mean, if you are fairly consistent, but you're not emailing, you know, normally two or three times a day, they're going to pay attention. They know something's coming up.
Exactly. So we're up to like a couple hours, the sale's starting. How did you map out like how you were going to show people the product and how did that work? So you shot it on your iPad in your studio.
Shot on my iPad. About a week prior, I started pulling things that I wanted to sell. So I had trays set out, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, rings, and then one of a kind. So I knew exactly what pieces were going to sell.
So you weren't like scrambling at the
restaurant.
There
was no scrambling. Everything was laid out and I knew it. And then the OCD anal retentive person in me put it all in a spreadsheet.
Okay, amazing. So that's good. So you had it all organized.
I had the spreadsheet. I knew how much the item was. I knew how much it was going to be discounted, if it was going to be discounted. And then, you know, how many I had available, if there was one or if there was two, or if I was going to, you know, I threw in a couple like really super discounts in there. So it was all very itemized and listed out.
Okay. So did you have like style numbers for those things or was it?
I did have their,
how'd you record
their
that?
the normal number that's, you know, they're not, it's not their UPC code or whatever.
Yeah. Like a SKU or whatever.
There you go. their code. That was it. Now, one thing I did learn in that is I would hold up that number while the piece was being shown. Well, on an iPad, it's backwards.
Oh, yeah.
So next time I would write them backwards or figure something out or put them on vellum and hold it backwards or something. But really, it was minor in the great scheme. So.
Okay. Okay, cool. And so then you would have your daughter model the pieces.
So I had my daughter. She said she had 2 hours. So I knew we had to get in and get out in two
hours.
Did
she have like a friend's party or something?
Yeah, she's 18. She had things.
She's like, I will do this for 2 hours, Mom.
To do. So she said, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, be yourself. And I'm like, just have fun with it. So she literally, like, I would show the piece. I would describe the piece. She would put it on, walk up to the, you know, up to the iPad, kind of model it, do whatever, you know, display it, show how it clasped, help hold it up, and then we would move on.
Okay, so like when you're describing it, like what would you say? Let's like pick a piece that you have.
Well, think about how if you're going to write a listing for a piece, everything you would say, but then think of all the things you wish you could say, but you can't type it all out. So, you know, I would say if it was a ring, like this fits really beautifully. I love to wear it on my index finger. It's a better fit for that. The stone really glows like that. You could see it better. Or the necklace clasps on this side and it hangs right here. And, you know, look at the detail on the back. Like all the things you probably don't have enough words to write in a listing. That's what I talked about. And I have no problem finding words. So I was like all about the words. Like I could just fill in the spaces.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Okay, cool. And so she modeled it. She was like hamming it up, making it really fun.
Totally.
Okay. So it becomes like a fun event. Were you like encouraging people like to have wine and stuff while they were?
Yes, of course. And I would have done so myself, but I knew I would have lost track of where I was and probably given things away. So I waited till post show for me. But yeah, it was fun. Like people were talking to each other as they were commenting on the different items. And it was just, it was really cool.
So how would someone actually buy an item? Were you like posting it in the comments below the Facebook Live video or how did that work?
And that was one of the things that I took tips from the your other podcast on that from Sarah. I had very much outlined and pinned a post to the top of the event. Like,
okay,
this is how it happens. The item's going to come up. You're going to give, tell me sold. You're going to put your email address and you're committed. And I will invoice you later that evening and then you'll pay for it. But that's kind of, you know, if that was it, you know,
okay,
I knew that they had to say it. They had to give me an email just saying I want it doesn't count. I need sold and an email address.
Would you ever consider like creating separate like PayPal links or something for each of those and linking them?
It would have been easier.
Okay, so that's something that I feel like I heard you mention that or something.
Yeah, there was a couple of things I could have.
Okay, we'll talk about what you would do differently next time. Okay, perfect. Hold on a second.
Okay,
so the item would come up. They had instructions. They had to say that the item was sold with the style number, their email address, and then you would invoice them later for payment. Mm-hmm. Was it hard to keep track of that?
Again, that's something I learned that I would do differently. But yes, it was hard. And it was a little crazy.
Okay. And then was there anyone, like, did you have any trouble with anyone, like, actually not following through on making the purchase?
Not one.
Wow. Because you made them commit.
Yeah. And they were so, the people who were there really wanted to be there. And so they were really excited. They kind of knew maybe what was coming and they were looking for it or they were just looking for a surprise item. And they, you know, that's, I think that's one thing that's the beauty of really building loyalty with your fans and your people, that they're, you know, they're good people.
Do you know how many people showed up?
Oh, I want to say, I knew you were going to ask me that. And I remembered in the live event, we talked about it and Shelby filled in for me. I think it was like 200 maybe.
Awesome. So they were popping in and out like at different times during the Facebook Live.
And once the whole thing shut down, like for whatever reason, so I had to log back in and there was all these comments like, where'd you go?
Oh no.
We didn't, you know, they thought we were still selling and maybe they missed, but I'm like, no, we're back. Nothing happened.
We're back.
Nothing happened in the meantime. So Yeah,
you definitely want to be on a strong internet connection when you're doing something like
that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about that. And then at the end of it, like, how'd you close out the sale?
So the event ended, you know, and I went back through and I said I was going to post pictures of everything. Or I don't know, I did post pictures in there. And then I went back through and actually looked at the live event and looked at what piece was listed and all the emails and whatever. So that's when it got a little hard
to track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had tracked everything in the spreadsheet, but then the comments, it was hard to follow
which was which.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about some of the things that you would change because it sounds like there's a few the next time you do it. Okay. Let's talk about that.
First thing, have the spreadsheet for sure, but then have somebody else there actually tracking.
Okay.
So as you post a necklace, say it's N100, you know, they're looking and they write down, okay, this email came in first. So they have a name immediately attached to the item. So you need a wingman for that for sure.
Okay.
That would have been helpful. Also, maybe I know a lot of the people wanted to see pictures of everything ahead of time. I didn't want to put too much ahead because I didn't want them waiting. So I'm kind of still torn with that one because I thought
you should test it for the next one.
Yeah. Like if I list 50 items and then they're just waiting for one, maybe they're not going to like buy anything else. But I kind of like the fact that they didn't know what was coming all the time.
Yeah. I think that quite honestly, I think that's a better strategy because it creates this sense of curiosity and mystery without them like waiting for one item and then popping off. Because did you get people buying repeat pieces?
Yes. Okay. Definitely. So I think if they were just looking for one, maybe they wouldn't have purchased the other. They would have had more of a plan. And I didn't want them to plan. I wanted them to be like, I have to get it. I have to be there. So
this is where the art of teasing becomes so important because you could be like, oh, I have this great piece coming up. Just wait.
Yeah. And then people would comment and say, well, I saw you had a sea glass ring. When's the sea glass ring coming? When is it coming? And then I knew that. So I was like, okay, we'll hold that one off. And then as I listed things or talked about things, then I had to make sure I put them in order. And that should have been a little bit, maybe more of a plan. Instead of pulling things from earrings, rings, necklaces, one of a kind, having a true lineup plan would have been a little easier too.
So have the items organized in the order you wanted to sell it, numbered or something, and numbered in addition to their style number so that you could easily track how they were coming up on the sale.
Exactly.
Okay. That's great advice. And then I briefly touched on this. Would you create like separate payment links for each of them so people would go straight to buy next time?
It would have been easier because then I wouldn't have had to search through and see who purchased something. And then if it was, if the payment link was done, then they couldn't buy it a second time. So, you know, I don't know. I think it might be a little more
upfront work, but
yeah, I'd have to think about that one, but something that might've been helpful.
Yeah. That's an interesting idea. I feel like maybe Sarah mentioned that when we were together too, that she would maybe do that next time.
I mean, all in all of it from beginning of the event, the actual event to invoicing everyone. I mean, I started that event at 7:30 and I did stay up to like 1:30 in the morning, but by 1:30 in the morning, I was done. Like everything
was sold
invoiced.
And then everyone paid. Not one person fell out.
No, I mean, some I had to remind a couple days, but nobody fell out. I did end up selling multiples of things that I really only intended on sending one. But if they were in stock, I was like, okay, fine. You know, it doesn't hurt me to do it at that point. So yeah.
That's awesome. Did you have any problems? Like any tech? You said you had one tech problem.
Tech problem. But other than that, no.
No problems.
No.
So when you do it again, because I feel like this is going to be... So you sold $7,000.
Yes.
Two hours.
Which
amazing.
Is crazy. And I didn't know that until 1:30 in the morning when I finished invoicing. I'm like, holy crap, that was a lot of jewelry
Great. I feel like this is something that could be part of everyone's strategy.
Absolutely.
Like once a quarter, once a month. You could start making it into something bigger. Or I mean, I feel like this is a really great strategy to sell online if you were doing different collections each time.
For sure.
Way to launch a new collection.
Anything limited edition, I think there was the beauty was it was a sale for some things and, you know, one of a kinds were discounted just a little bit. So they felt like it, but I don't think you have to have a discount. I think just the scarcity of
like, this is the only one like this.
That's it.
So there's this designer that I use as a case study a lot. Her name is Karen Scully. She has a brand called Soliloquy Jewelry and she's really good at this. She like makes one of something. Like once it's gone and people are like clamoring over it when it's released. And this is why I love that you did this because creating that sense of scarcity, especially for people who do one of a kind, getting a lot of people there at once. And you do reproducible, but you also do.
Right. And then once you have your people, they want those one of a kinds.
Yep.
They don't want just your standard collection. So
super fun. Oh my gosh, this was so great. I'm so excited that you share this with us. So when are you going to do your next one?
I'm going to do one in November and I'm debating now if I do it over the weekend of Thanksgiving. Black Friday thing, kind of maybe get people even Thanksgiving night while they're doing their sale flyers or maybe just on set. I don't know. So I'm playing around with timing, trying to figure out what's best right now.
And would you do anything different with the way you emailed or promoted in advance? Okay.
Same.
Okay, awesome.
Same.
Did you do any sort of follow-up email after a sale?
I did. I went in the group that night and thanked them all there. And then the next morning, I did a live in the event just to say, thank you so much. It was so great to have you in my studio and blah, 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 blah.
So one other thing, you hosted this on your Facebook page or in a Facebook group?
It was a Facebook event.
Okay, because you kept saying
in my page.
Okay, because you kept saying in the group. So I want to make sure.
And an event.
Okay.
Group event.
Got it.
Same thing. Those
in
words are interchangeable today.
They are. Okay. But I just wanted to be clear so people weren't like, oh, you're doing this in the group because I think the good part about having it in an event is that there's still like a public aspect to it. So you might like run across like some random person.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
no,
awesome.
For sure. I would do all of that the same. There's just the little nitty gritty things I would tweak.
Are you cool if we share like the video of your Facebook Live stuff?
Oh my goodness, sure. Go for it.
Okay.
I am a little crazy. And so is my child.
I love it. No, but that's how you, like, you know, the more like animated you can be on camera and in real life, the better.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, thank you so much for being here today. It's really great to be here in the same room, in our same hotel room in Chicago, you know, recording a little podcast here. So if you want to learn more or watch Lisa's video, head on over to the show notes over at floristthriveacademy.com/episode121. We also mentioned that Lisa is joining us for our SOS Accelerator program. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know about it, it is a one-year coaching program that's designed to help you elevate your online digital marketing and e-commerce strategy so that you're making more sales online. So if you want to check that out, I'm going to have a link over in the show notes. Today, I think the show goes live October 31st on Halloween.
Oh, fun.
Woo! So this is the last day. Tomorrow, we are raising the investment price to $6,000 for the SOS Accelerator. So we've launched an early bird that ends today. So if you're interested in applying, now is the time. You want to head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/SOS to check that out. And if you haven't taken our marketing scorecard, I highly recommend you do this. This is a free scorecard that you can download to see how you're doing in your digital marketing and e-commerce strategy. In fact, I was at this conference this weekend. That's the whole reason why I'm in Chicago, the Chicago Responsible Jewelers Conference. And I was talking with a bunch of industry experts and they were asking me questions like, how do you recommend that I get my business going a little bit more online? Or how do you recommend that we get the word out about what we're trying to do here? And I ended up handing them the physical version of the scorecard. I'm like, take this and then call me later and we'll talk. And I'm saying this because, like, you know, sometimes if you don't know what's missing, it's really hard for you to understand, like, what needs to happen in order to get to that next step. You took the scorecard. What did you think about it?
I think I thought I had some of the things together that maybe I really don't. So that was good. It was eye-opening. It was.
That's awesome. And you're launching a new website pretty soon, right?
Yep. Rebranding my name, rebranding my website, all the things.
And it's coming up soon. So if your new set website's done by the time we launch this episode, we'll link it there as well.
Awesome.
Otherwise, when it's done, we'll just link it there.
It should relink from my old to that if all the technology works correct.
It will. It will.
All
right, Lisa, thanks again for being here. Everyone, thank you so much for listening today. And I want you to report back when you host your Facebook Live sale to tell us how it goes, because we want to keep improving this strategy because I think it's such a good one. All right, take care until next time.